The first reading is written in the book of Samuel. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I have also lent him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Let us read Psalm 84 responsively. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts!
Receiving faith for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you.
Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage.
As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion.
Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob.
O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man who trusts in you.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is written in the book of Hebrews. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all in their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Now when the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. I looked back and saw that Jim Drutowski was one of the ushers and called him General Jim, I think. I didn't know Jim until he joined here a couple years ago, and almost at once I noticed he was not only here at every service, but helpful in whatever ways he was able to help, and now he's the president of our church council. And Jim, I want to say that we're thankful for your service to the Lord and to us. So if I got in Dutch by saying General Jim, maybe that'll get me out of it. Temple talk to Groundhog Day. Old Simeon had no idea that what he said around 0 BC would lead to Groundhog Day in 2003, but exactly that has happened. Lord, he said, now let your servant depart in peace. I'm an old man, ready to die. I was an old man yesterday, and the day before that, but today, for the first time, I'm ready to die. I saw in the temple the Messiah, God's promised Son, and now I'm ready to die. No one is ready to die until that person sees Jesus and knows who he is. Following the birth of the first boy, Jewish law required three things. The first was circumcision. In the verse prior to the gospel we read, Luke wrote, now after 8 days, the time of circumcision had come, and the baby was named Jesus. The second requirement had to do with the mother. For about 6 weeks following birth, she was considered unclean. As the practice was, on the 40th day, Joseph and Mary came to the temple, giving the offering of the poor, as it was called, a pair of turtle doves, and Mary was declared ceremonially clean. In Roman Catholic churches throughout the world, this day is called the Purification of Mary. The third requirement was the presentation. Since God owned and provided everything, the first portion of the flocks and the fields and the wine press were to be given to him. And that included the firstborn son. As you heard Marty read, Hannah brought her son Samuel to Eli the priest, saying, he is given to the Lord. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, but it was possible to pay a redemption price and take the child home, likely another pair of turtle doves. Mary and Joseph did that, but this was the presentation. We call the day the presentation of our Lord. The Greek church calls it hypopante, the meeting, because this is the day that Samuel met Jesus in the temple, that Simeon saw Jesus in the temple. Simeon was an old man, the son of a famous rabbi named Hillel. The Nasil, he was called, the one who was in charge of the commission that interpreted Jewish law. To this day, on many college campuses, the Jewish center is called Hillel. There's one near San Diego State and another up by UCSD. With a prominent father like that, Simeon got off to a good start, was elected to the Sanhedrin, that 71-member prestigious body, and he became its president. But then Simeon got into trouble. He opposed the zealots and others who wanted to go to war against Rome. Life was hard. People were being mistreated. But Simeon objected to the use of force, what we might call terrorist attacks or preemptive strikes. He joined a group called the Quiet of the Land, people who wanted to negotiate and wait for God to visit and redeem his people. The war talk was too strong, and Simeon was kicked out of the Sanhedrin. Now, let me say parenthetically that Simeon was right. The people should have listened. They rebelled. They were hostile. Eventually, war came. The land was plundered. Thousands of Jews were butchered. And those that continued to live lost their homeland and didn't have a state of Israel for almost 2,000 years. To this day, all that remains of their imposing temple is a wailing wall, those gigantic stones, reminders of what was. The war didn't make life better for anybody, but Simeon lost his job. Now we find him in the temple. And that day, guided by the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, he saw this baby Jesus and knew him to be God's promised son, the Messiah. He took him in his arms and praised God with the words we now call the Nunc Dimittis. We used to sing them as part of the liturgy. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. This day then, the presentation of our Lord. But how in the world did we get from Simeon's talk in the temple to Groundhog Day? Go back with me to the 7th century. Pope Sergius was a papal monarch, and Simeon said that this one was a light to lighten the Gentile. And the Pope thought that candles were lights that represented Jesus, who was the light to lighten the Gentiles. This would be a good day, February 2nd, to bless the candles. He instructed the churches to say a mass for candles on this day, which came to be called, and still is at many places, Candle Mass. Since February 2nd is almost midway between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, those people in Central and Northern Europe couldn't wait for warmer weather. They wanted the sunlight, which would lighten the Gentiles and keep them warm, to come. And somebody came up with the idea that the weather on Candlemas would determine whether or not spring would be early. They had a little couplet that went, if Candlemas is bright and clear, there'll be two winters in this year. Well, you can guess what happened. Immigrants to this country brought the idea over, and some of those Pennsylvania Germans, Pennsylvania Dutch, out there in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, had to spice it up a bit. The editor of the local paper in the 1880s, 1882 I think it was, wrote an article about a groundhog, a woodchuck, coming out of his hole. If he saw his shadow, that meant he'd go back into the hole, there'd be six more weeks of winter. If he didn't see his shadow, spring would come soon. Well, this morning, 15 members of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, with their dress suits, their top hats, and I suppose Long John underwear under their suits, gathered on Gobbler's Knob. I looked it up on the internet this morning. 30,000 people were there. They came, they bring them in on buses now. And they have this this tree stump. They use it every year. It has a hole in the front and a heated groundhog cage back of it. A Punxsutawney Phil lives in the town library, in a simulated library, most of the year. Early this morning, they took Phil out of that burrow and put him in the cage back of that stump. At precisely 7:25, with the television cameras whirring and the news people on hand, they somehow opened the trap door and pushed Phil out. Well, this morning, the sun was shining, believe it or not. He saw his shadow. Those poor people are going to have to wear their galoshes and scarves and top coats for six more weeks. But as for Phil, maybe you saw the Oscar Wiener Mobile that was in town for the Super Bowl. Well, they sing a little song to the tune of the Oscar Mayer Wiener. It goes something like this. I wish I were a Punxsutawney groundhog, telling all whether spring is very near. For if I were a Punxsutawney groundhog, I'd only have to work one day a year. Well, there you have it. This day, February 2nd, Hypapante, the meeting for Greeks, the coming is what the Armenian churches call it, the purification of Mary for Roman Catholics, Groundhog Day for gullible Pennsylvania Dutch, and for us, the presentation of our Lord. And what's the message of this this day, February 2nd, for us? That Messiah, who was seen by Simeon in the temple, is presented to you and to me in this temple this morning. When Simeon saw Jesus and knew who he was ready to die. My eyes have seen your salvation, he said as he praised God. Now he was fulfilled. Fulfillment for many people has nothing to do with Jesus. Fulfillment is being successful, having a good job. Salvation is this pleasure or that possession, having a good family. What God is saying to us is that fulfillment comes about by seeing Jesus and knowing who he is. It was then that Simeon said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. I'm ready to die. Unless one has a relationship with Jesus, that person wouldn't feel at home in heaven. It's like going to the opera. If a person doesn't understand the opera, doesn't appreciate the music, the person is bored. It's the person who knows the opera, who loves it, who's thrilled by it. And that's the way it is with heaven. One wouldn't be comfortable in heaven. All those people around the throne praising God with a lamb in the midst, if one doesn't know know who Jesus is. The meaning of the day then, for you and for me, is that we need to see Jesus, and we need to know who he is. Simeon was very blunt. He said, this child has been sent for the falling and the rising of many. Some rise, some fall. And the key, the benchmark is seeing Jesus and knowing who he is. So it is that you and I, like Simeon, as St. Luke writes of him, are guided by God's Spirit. Here this morning, we see this Jesus, baby, 40 days old now, having come from Bethlehem's manger. The one who was stretched out on two intersecting pieces of wood to die for us on the cross. The one whom God raised from the dead. We see this one. We know who he is. And by God's grace, like Simeon, we take him into our arms, into our hearts, into our lives. Then, in God's good time and way, when our time on earth ends, we are able to say, as Simeon said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of your people Israel. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.